Canto 29. Strange wounds for many people had so made my eyes drunk that they would have stayed and wept. But Virgil said, "How is your gaze repaid by lingering down there where they are kept, so many kinds of miserable maimed shade? You haven't done this in the other rings. You want to count them. Then consider this. That valley, its floor crawling with those things, runs 22 miles round. And did you miss the moon? Already it's beneath our feet. The time permitted to us now is short, and there is more to look at than will meet your eyes here." I said, "Had you given thought to why I looked, you might have granted me a longer stay." While I made that reply, my leader had moved on unheedingly. "I think," I added, "in that cave where I stared so intently just now, there might be a shade, my kin, who now weeps for the pain which is guilt's price down there." My master said, "From now on, you should let your thoughts remain untroubled by his fate. Let them be led by other things. Let that one stay down there, below the bridge." He pointed up at you and fiercely shook his finger with an air of threat. "I heard a name I thought you knew. Geri del Bello, yes. But you were so wrapped up in him whose head was his to hold, as once he held Hautfort, that there was no chance you would see, even if you were told, the other one until he went." "My guide," I said, "my father's cousin is not yet avenged for the foul blow by which he died. The partners in his shame seem to forget they owe him this, and so he was outraged, and therefore, as I judge, without a word to me, he moved on, and the war he waged within himself so silently has stirred in me much more compassion than before." "Did grace desired mean honor's claims deferred?" We talked of this until the nearest bluff, which shows the next ditch from the ridge. With more light on the subject, we'd have seen enough to know what it was like down to its floor. But as things were, when we arrived above that final cloister so that we could see its sad lay brothers, then I had to glove my stunned ears with my hands for sympathy, because the shafts of sorrow they let loose were barbed with pity, and the grief was strange that thus assailed us. It was not diffuse. It was as if some cruel force might arrange that all the ills of all the hospitals, of all the Val di Chiana from July until September, and Maremma's halls of fever, and all those marked soon to die in sick Sardinia, should pack the walls of one crypt. So it was here, and the stink came out of it as if from limbs that rot. Down from the last ridge, down to the last brink, still keeping left we climbed, until I got a clear view downward, all the way to where justice infallible, the sovereign lord's handmaiden, marks the names and keeps in care the counterfeiters, and where she awards their punishment. No, no more sorry sight was offered by Aegina's populace, when all of it was stricken by the blight. The air so pestilential in that place, all animals down to the merest worm fell dead, and Jupiter transformed the ants to men, so that the plague should have its term, and the ancient tribes might have a second chance, or so the poets say. But this was worse, this sight along the valley, of the shades who lay in heaps, and every heap diverse. One lay face down, one made his shoulder blades the bed frame for another, and one moved on hands and knees along that dreadful road. Speechless, and step by step we went. They proved the sick. They had no strength to bear the load if they should try to raise themselves. We saw, we heard. I saw two sitting propped against each other, like pans set next door to one another, so the cold is stopped from getting in between, and these two wore thick scabs from head to foot. No curry comb was ever plied by stable boy urged on, by master eager to ride out from home. or boy awake too long with patience gone, as were the ranking nails of these two souls against their own skins and the endless rage of that itch no emollient controls. And bit by bit, but always at the stage of just beginning, their nails scraped them free of scabs. Just as the knife strips off the scales of bream or fish with larger finery. But cleaning fish succeeds. This always fails. My leader said to one of these two, "You, whose fingers take your armor off one link of chainmail at a time, and sometimes do the work of pincers, tell us what you think. Are there Italians here? Your nails may toil forever at the task that they have now." "Italians both, we who made you recoil at our disfigurement. But tell us how you're here to ask this," said one as he wept. And then my leader, "I am one who goes from level down to level and have kept this living man with me, and he well knows my mission is to show him hell." Then they no longer could support themselves, and each turned trembling toward me. Further away, others turned also, who had heard this speech. My master drew close, saying, "Tell them what you want." And since he wanted that, I said, "So that the minds of living men may not forget your name, so it may not be dead to that sweet world and live for many years, say who you are and from what people. May your loathsome sentence not arouse false fears that you will suffer further if you say these things to me." And one replied, "Know me, for Grifolino of Arezzo. I was burned by Albert of Siena. He called me magician, but that wasn't why I came here. It is true I said to him that I could rise up through the air and fly, and he, inquisitive, if somewhat dim, told me to show him how, and just because I didn't make him Daedalus, he had me burned by the Inquisitor, who was his natural father. But to this last sad ditch of the ten, I was condemned and sent for something worse. Minos, who doesn't err, got me for alchemy. That's how it went. I'm here now because that's the way things were." I to my poet, "When was there so light a people as the Sienese? By far the French are less so." Then the leprous fright who had been silent spoke, "Perhaps some are, but Stricca wasn't. He knew how to spend in moderation, so well he took weeks to bring his patrimony to an end. Then there was Niccolò. The whole world speaks of how he made the clove into the taste no one could eat without. He knew the seed, the root, the garden. He knew how to waste a fortune, and we also should pay heed to those 12 of the Spendthrift Club, the gang who dressed in gold and silver, man and horse. Their money talked, and those who loaned it sang in vain. To help that bunch in their wise course was Caccia of Asciano, who burned through a vineyard and a forest, and that great official whose sound judgment we bowed to, the dolt we called the Blunderer. But wait, you should know now who seconds you in your appraisal of the Sienese. Look hard at me, for you have seen this face before. Look past the blisters, give me your regard, and see Capocchio in Siena cooked, without the cloves, for alchemy. I made fake metals, but you know how good they looked, if you are who I think you are. My trade was falsifying nature. I did well in life, but everything is real in hell."